Skyline's new chicken chili is here. Now you can enjoy that legendary Skyline taste with a new protein option. Try Skyline's chicken chili on Waze, Coney's, and all your Skyline favorites. Feeling good. It's Skyline time.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. To Germany, to Berlin, to my good colleague Judy Dempsey, senior scholar, Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, and to the dominating headline from London about the Chancellor of all Germany, Friedrich Merz. Friedrich Merz is testing Germany's patience, writes the FT. Subhead, with the economy stagnant and the far-right AfD gaining popularity, the Chancellor is under pressure to deliver his promised reforms. Judy, a very good day to you. The gift that keeps on giving is London chastising Germany for not going fast enough. Okay. However, Herr Merz took on a huge challenge, the Ukraine war, dealing with the United States, and at the same time, the economy has been flatline or worse for several quarters and not promising to bounce back because of the changes in the export model of Germany. So I think it's impatience to be impatient of Friedrich Merz. However, I'm not familiar with the timing that is part of the German vote. I understand there are big votes coming next year or maybe later this year. I'm not sure. But it does look like he has some time to produce results in the economy. How much time does he have in your estimate? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Thank you for having me on your show. Time is a very difficult thing to qualify and quantify, because the German economy is based on what happens to China and how it affects actually the German automobile industry. China is also very important for the technological advances of the German car industry, which has been absolutely export-driven, but it's now dependent on rare earth materials from China, on the one hand. On the other hand, the German economy is susceptible to the impact the tariffs will make that President Trump is imposing on many EU countries and indeed across the world. And so if this was a normal situation, Merz could perhaps push ahead with his reforms, but he's hamstrung by these two non-German elements. And inside Germany, he's got his own domestic problems with his coalition partners, the Social Democrats, who actually, the left wing of the party, are very much against his reforms.
The AfD, we've talked about it during the results from Rhineland-Northwestphalia. Is it a growing story, or have we exhausted our attention to it? It's just permanently now part of the mix. I can't tell.
It's a growing story. It's a worrying story. They are 1 percentage point in the opinion polls behind Merz's Conservative Democratic Union. This is incredibly worrying. And this is another factor that Merz has to actually integrate into his domestic agenda. His reforms have to actually ensure that he keeps the alternative for Germany at bay. And these reforms mean dealing with employment. These reforms mean dealing with migration. These reforms mean with speeding up the infrastructure, spending more on housing and schools and kindergartens and so on. He's up against a huge amount of pressures, and he's under pressure to spend as well, but he has to decide what he's going to spend on. In the meantime, the AfD is always on the fringes, questioning him, accusing him of not delivering. But actually, even his own party is actually standing up to Merz and saying, you're not delivering on the promised reforms that you did get, reducing democracy, reducing bureaucracy, introducing long overdue pension reforms, cutting back on certain social welfare payments, getting people back to work. I mean, all of these things are coming together now, and the criticism is getting louder.
The SPD, I need to understand what place that plays, because it's part of the coalition, and yet it seems that it wants policies that are antithetical to how Merz campaigned and are not supported by Merz's own version of the coalition, nor celebrated by the rest of the Bundestag. Chiefly, it comes down to, and this is my interpretation, I don't have the language, welfare reform is necessary and the SPD doesn't want to do it. Is it that simple?
In a nutshell, it is that simple. Welfare reform, one of the negative aspects of welfare reform is that those who are unemployed, they have to go to a special labour office, and it's now compulsory, and they have to sign up, and they have to take on a job that's accepted to them. And if they don't turn up for the appointment, they are fined. And what Mertes' party wants to do is cut back on the benefits that these people receive, so that it'll be an incentive to go into the job market. On the other side, the Social Democrats, the left wing of the Social Democrats, say, no, we've got to maintain this kind of social welfare payments, which are funded by the taxpayer, actually, less money in your pockets. So this is a kind of tug of war. They'll probably reach a compromise which actually won't lead to the necessary reforms. That's one element. And the other element, of course, is the level of defence spending, the level of infrastructure spending, and above all, reducing the enormous civil service and the bureaucracy which is holding back productivity.
The industries that were leading were export industries, the automobiles, for example. But they were riding the wave that started with China's opening up at the beginning of this century. That's gone. And so, therefore, they need a new direction. Do they have one? Does Merz give them what the future is? Because they can't rely on the past ever again.
That's true. They can't rely on the past. But what is the future? The future is AI. The future is a radical expansion of the electrical car industry. But they need parts for this. They need a skilled labour force for this. They need investment for this. And also, this is another element of the criticism of Merz. Energy prices are very, very high here. So Merz has to juggle all of these elements. These are complaints now, which in the past could be addressed because you could go back and continue with the old ways. But the old ways are over, and we've touched on this before. The deindustrialization is going apace, but it's not going fast enough so that there's a new actual kind of, I won't call it an industry, a new kind of production line to replace it. So it's very, very complicated. And Chancellor Merz is the first chancellor that has to take on all these movable feasts, compounded by what we touched on earlier, is Trump's tariffs and the rise of China and the growing criticism inside the country that Merz isn't going fast enough with the reforms. But you can't just blame it on one chancellor. You've got to actually look at the whole package of the coalition. And the problem with the coalition is that the contract that they signed when they first came into office several months ago, it didn't follow up an awful lot of things. They had broad outlines, but they didn't go into the detail. And now the detail, or the absence of it, is catching up on them.
China. Does he have a China policy that we can talk about, or is it evolving? In other words, China's in trouble, but it's a customer base, and it's where Germany invested a lot of money. What does Merz make of all that?
He's very, very worried about it because he doesn't want this dependence on China, which China does want. But on the other hand, Merz knows that for the moment, because there aren't many places that he can find sufficient rare earth materials for his ambitions to modernize the car industry, he's dependent on China very much so. And China knows this, and it can play the cards very, very well, not only vis-a-vis Germany, but also the European Union, and of course, the big tug of war with Washington. So this is a big problem, but having a strategy towards China, Germany hasn't got one. They are trying to diversify, but not fast enough.
So therefore, what we have here is a story in motion, and I'm back to my initial puzzle. What kind of timeline does he have? We have 4-year elections for the presidency and 2 years for the Congress. Does he have 2 years to 26 to turn around things? Does he have till 28? How long does he have?
Well, in the coming months and next year, there are four regional, called state elections. This is a highly federalized country, as you know. And most of these elections are taking place in the eastern states of Germany. And the eastern states are places where the AfD are very, very strong. At the moment, the Christian Democrats and the SPD are in power there. But the polls show that the AfD could do very, very well unless there's a huge turn in the economy and unless Merz can change his style of governing and be more inclusive and get out onto the domestic field and not only focus on the foreign policy one. So this is he's got a very short window, and he has to make sure that when he opens it, he can see that there's a good vision for his own credibility and the stability of the coalition.
The last time we talked about AfD, they were acting statesmanlike, making bland statements that anybody could make. Have they changed their style? Because we know they're anti-EU, we know they're anti-NATO, we know they're anti-Trump in America. Is there something fresh, or is that the game?
Their game is, they're not just waiting, they're campaigning very, very hard. In the villages, in the towns, in the cities, and in the schools, among teachers in the eastern states, and indeed in the western German states, we saw that they did very well in Germany's most populous state, North Rhine-Westphalia, a few weeks ago. They're not just sitting and waiting, they're campaigning very, very hard indeed, because they see now that they're number two, just 1 point, but percentage point behind Merz's party, and they have enormous number of seats in the Bundestag, the German parliament, and they smell power, and Merz now has to find ways of keeping them away from the ultimate power.
This is a protest party. Is it becoming more than that? Does it have an agenda we can talk about besides I'm anti?
Parts of the AfD are trying to put a kind of meat onto their agenda. If you're anti everything, it actually means that you're not responsible for anything. So they're trying to come up with some kind of economic policies for growth, for jobs, for retraining and so on. But that's not getting out. What's getting out is pro-Russia, not so much anti-Trump, because in some ways they would identify with Trumpian policies, but they're anti-NATO, Euroscepticism in all sorts of ways. But and this appeals to an electorate who really doesn't question what the AfD stands for, apart from being anti-immigration. It would be interesting to see if they're actually going to come up with a more serious agenda.
Ukraine. Judy Dempsey is a senior scholar for Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. When we come back, Ukraine is also part of the conversation for Herr Merz and the leadership of Europe following the meeting with Donald Trump that the FT characterized as voices were raised. When we come back.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication, report scams, and update your software. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information and fixes identity theft, guaranteed, or your money back. Start your protection today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. Terms apply.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.